Welcome to another Missouri Review podcast. Over the next few weeks, we'll be presenting the winning entries from our 2007 audio competition. Our first installment features the first place winner of the narrative essay category, Judith Sloan. The essay, Sweeping Statements, is a first-person, author-read account of teaching theater, writing, and juggling in jails and alternative sentencing institutions with incarcerated teenagers. Category judge Jay Allison of Transom.org says the essay, quote, truly left the page and warranted its existence in sound, unquote. Sloan is an actress, oral historian, and audio artist. Her audio pieces have been produced for National Public Radio and New York Public Radio. She is also co-founder of the nonprofit arts organization Earsay, which you can find at www.earsay.org. Sweeping Statements was written, produced, voice edited, and performed by Judith Sloan. The music was composed and performed by Taylor Ravelli. A trumpet performance was by Dave Guy, and the music sequencing was by Tomek Gross and Judith Sloan.
I walk into the auditorium. Alternative sentencing institution. Jail but school, school but jail. 24-hour locked doors, guards, teenagers, boys, tough, tall, angry. Last stop before jail, jail. 2-hour train ride. Snow, rolling hills, country homes, colleges, prisons, farms, boys from New York City, fresh air, barbed wire, sky. I'm here to teach writing, juggling, theater.
Oh, great, I'm short. I'm looking up at them. Can't they sit down? Then I'll have some authority.
I decide to do something they can't do. I start juggling. Balls are flying. They're laughing. I catch a ball on two fingers and let it roll down my arm back into the pattern. I juggle backwards on the floor, upside down.
Damn! Can you teach us that?
Yes, I say. 4 more guys come in wearing ski masks. Why are they wearing them? It's over 75 degrees in here. They're wild, running around, hopping over chairs, jumping on the stage. The guard in charge can't control them. They tower over me.
What you think you're doing?
Nervous. They are too close. I can't see their faces. Well, for now, I say, these other guys want to learn how to juggle.
That's bullshit.
If you want to do it, there are the balls. They are trying to intimidate me from under the ski masks. I see they are getting hot under the masks. They are sweating under the masks. They can't breathe under the masks. They go off to the side, gasping for air. They take off the masks.
I can't do this, miss!
Just take it one step at a time.
But I can't do this, miss!
No one can get it right off the bat.
I'm never gonna get this!
It takes practice.
Aw, forget it, miss!
Okay, I say. Let's make a deal. I'll teach you how to juggle, and if you can't do it within the hour, then we write. Otherwise, we just do the writing now. This makes no sense, what I say. But no one notices, including me.
Okay, deal.
Halfway through the workshop, the 6'3", 200-pound, 16-year-old guy that goes by Marquis says,
"Yo, miss! Yo, miss! I got it! Watch me, miss! Watch me!"
Great, I say. That's excellent. Then a chorus of boys learning to keep 3 things in motion in the air without dropping.
Watch me, miss!
Focus, I say.
Yo, miss! Watch me!
Watch me!
Miss! Watch me!
Watch me, miss!
Watch me!
Excellent, I say. That's excellent. I'm older than most of their mothers. If you are 30, you're older than most of their mothers. T doesn't know his mother. He ends up writing this in his poem about his name. Can't say who named me. I never met him. K writes that he is a person who is tall, a person who has gotten into a lot of trouble in junior high, a person who can draw, a person who is dark, a person with an incarcerated mother, a person who likes the Yankees. Judith says she likes the Yankees. I like that Judith likes the Yankees. He writes, I am a person who is kind. But no one knows this. Marquis writes that he only fights when someone fights him, and that all the ladies love him.
Yo, miss, what good is this gonna do us when we get out?
Sticking with something until you finish, it's about not giving up.
But what good is this gonna do us?
Problem solving, that's what we're doing.
What good is this when we get out?
Who knows, some of you may end up being writers.
That's bullshit. What good is this gonna do us?
Finally, I say, I don't know. You have anything better to do right now? Then I say, you never know. Maybe you'll discover something that can keep you sane. S says he wants to go back to Rikers. I don't believe him. He says he wants to go back to jail, so he doesn't have to do all this school. He wants to watch TV. I believe him. He tells me he's a sociopath. I don't know what to believe.
K
Kay desperately wants to get out, but when he does, he'll be 15 and have nowhere to live. S wants to juggle with the balls I use, but I say no. Kay says,
"Those are props, man. You gotta respect the props."
"You'll miss. What about you, miss? You gonna write something about you?"
I write a piece about being 12 years old and in the 7th grade, about my father dying over Christmas vacation, about a big black girl named Mary who is 16 and in the 7th grade. Everyone was scared of her, even the boys. And about how the day I came back to school, Mary kicked the boy out of the seat across from me and said,
"Hey, Sloan, I hear your father died."
I couldn't speak. All I could do was nod.
"Mine too,"
she said. And how I was one of the few white kids at that school who didn't get beat up.
"You lucky, miss," says G.
"Lucky because of Mary?"
"No, because you had a father that loved you."
At the end of the day, I'm lucky. I'm going home to a big, strong bed and a warm, comfortable man. They're going back to their cottages. 24-hour guarded life. What it takes to get out is in half of what it takes to stay out. What it takes to get out is in half of what it takes to stay out. Here they have teachers, counselors, unusual place, this prison for youth, funded for rehabilitation with a capital R. My friend T was in prison for 12 years. Inside, doing time, he became an artist. He wrote, he read, he got a degree. He painted his way out of prison into the Whitney Museum of Art, the New York Times, and early release from the governor. Now that he's out, he tells me, outside, he doesn't have time to do all that. All his time goes to pay his rent, a slave to his apartment. Welcome to the free world. A lot can change in 12 years. He thought the automatic seatbelt was going to take his head off. I'm asked to teach in a school near where I live. 10-minute train ride. Can I teach a theater class, improvisation, writing, get the kids to write about their lives and perform? I say yes, without thinking. The kids are tough, they say. That's okay, I know the scene. Alternative school, at-risk teenagers, last stop before getting kicked out. The youth correctional facility is conveniently located across the street. First day, two white kids, the rest black and Hispanic. Everyone is looking at me suspiciously. They're slumped over their chairs. I get tired looking at them. Teaching in the jails was easier.
"Yo, miss, you think we're wild?"
"Compared to who?" I say. No one laughs. No, not wild. I get everyone up on their feet. I have to provide 90% of the energy in the room for the first 40 minutes. Knowing I won't last, seeing they deserve more than I can give them, I sweep my good intentions behind the blackboard before anybody notices.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Missouri Review. To find out more information about the Missouri Review and to see a complete list of the winners of our 2007 audio competition, please visit us at www.missourireview.com.